Sorry, gang, we had a slight technical problem.
And we're in business.
It's Peter Tilden.
At 10!
Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tilden at 10 begins right now. Brought to you by Larry Miller and SinSleep. He'll beat anyone's advertised price or your mattress is free. We have some amazing stuff to give away today. We have Zach Brown Band at the Hollywood Bowl when we do the news quiz. And I'm proud to present, I'll give you more information in a little bit, an evening with Brad Paisley as a benefit at the Saban Theater. And it's for the Tom Sherrick MS Hope Foundation, and Brad has done this for me many, many times. I've asked, and every single time he comes through. So you get to see a superstar who plays stadiums and arenas close up and personal in a rare acoustic performance. He killed it 2 years ago when he did it. So we will tell you how you get those tickets. You listen, and I'll tell you when to call in, and you can win a pair of those tickets, but get ready to buy. We do a pre-sale tomorrow at 10 a.m., so I'll tell you how to get those tickets. Also coming up in just a moment, I do want to talk about Harvey Weinstein. He was let go, and there's new information about Lisa Bloom and how she was planning on handling the case. And also why Saturday Night Live didn't touch the Weinstein story. If you believe SNL creator Lorne Michaels' reason, he said, because it's New York. It's very inside New York, so I don't think we need to do it as a national show. And also, Sharon Waxman used to work for the New York Times and had a story about Harvey in 2005 that the New York Times decided not to pursue. Why is that? So you want to weigh on that when we talk about it in just a moment, 800-222-5222. But lots going on in Washington, D.C., and I wanted to kick it off with Arnold Steinberg, our political analyst and author of Whiplash from JFK, A Political Odyssey to JFK to Donald Trump, A Political Odyssey. Good morning. How are you, Arnold?
I'd much rather talk about Harvey Weinstein.
Well, you know what? The Weinstein thing is really, really interesting in that Lisa Bloom, who is a defender of female rights, it came out in the Huffington Post that she was going to start discrediting the women who are attacking.
Right. And what's really fascinating is that her mother, that Gloria Allred, rebuked her and said that she would actually go against her and would represent women who were accusing Harvey Weinstein and would go against her daughter. And then, of course, her daughter then resigned from the account. I just finished writing something which says the issue really is not Harvey, it's Hollywood. And the reason why she withdrew and why he was fired yesterday by the board that included his brother is he's now bad for business.
Well, and the reason is Harvey Weinstein is no longer Harvey Weinstein. You're 40 years in. He's not as powerful. The New York Times apparently was going to do this story 10 years ago. And Miss Waxman, who is now with
But I think the story now has more legs, no pun intended.
Very funny. But she brought it to their attention, New York Times, and she got the green light to look into it. She said she traveled to Rome, and this is amazing. The guy who ran Miramax in Italy, she claims, Fabrizio Lombardo, was paid $400,000, and his job, it seems, was to help get women for Harvey overseas because he had no background in movies. He was on the payroll.
Right,
which is Disney.
It may have been very cost effective.
Can you imagine? So he knew nothing about film.
Because the $400,000 procured women, but without any litigation.
Russian escorts, supposedly. So he denied that he was doing favors. But at that time, Weinstein came in and pitched the New York Times not to run the story. Matt Damon and Russell Crowe called in. I'm guessing it smells like they had movies at that time. But the other part of it was, Arnold, that 10 years ago, Harvey Weinstein is spending a blank load of money on the New York Times promoting his movies. So the New York Times...
Well, right, and the conflict there with Lisa Bloom is he was going to be doing a Lisa Bloom book into a series or a movie there, so she had a conflict of interest.
How do you take that? How do you take that and not think within 3 seconds people are going to bring that up and go, wait a minute?
I think it's not a conflict of interest because that would be something within the same legal case. I think what it really, you know, shows is a two-faced hypocrisy that even offended her mother. And, you know, from a political standpoint, I think what we're dealing with is that Hollywood has been very much a partner in this attack on Republicans, that they're waging a war on women. And, you know, I worked years ago with a very famous producer, and this is the culture in Hollywood. It's in remission. It is not in extinction.
Well, and it may be in remission, but yeah, when I came out here in 88, 89, the casting couch was alive, and I heard stories every single day from women about this kind of stuff. But Harvey was powerful, so they looked the other way. Saturday Night Live, I don't know, what do you think about that? The fact that when they asked Lorne Michaels about not doing the Harvey Weinstein...
is almost worse than the fact that they didn't cover it. The response is so silly. Because this is an automatic Saturday Night Live story.
Except that, okay, let me play devil's advocate. Lorne Michaels' response was, it's from New York, it's a New Yorker story. So if I'm now Lorne Michaels, I go, well, so people in L.A. in the movie business know Harvey Weinstein. In New York, they know him now because of the story. Do people in flyover states, Chicago, anywhere else, care about Harvey Weinstein? Should we do a bit on him that lasts 7 minutes?
Absolutely. New York and L.A. are, you know, both bicoastal and bipolar. And the fact of the matter is that this is an automatic story. Hollywood and New York are totally interconnected. You have the New York Times covering what happened in Hollywood. And with the Internet and all this other stuff there, you know, first of all, we know that the South and Middle America, they care about scandals. And they certainly care about anything that further compromises the image of Hollywood, which they don't like.
Well, it is funny because on that note, when Lorne Michaels says that the middle of the country doesn't care about this story, in the middle of the country, you got farmers yelling, Ma, Ma, did you see the weekend grosses? They didn't do as well as they should have done.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, from a sociological standpoint, we know that those people who are the most alienated from Hollywood are the ones who most want to hear about the dirt. That's why we'll stand in line at the market and see who's buying the National Enquirer.
Yeah, nobody's buying it. They're all just reading it during the checkout. Are you kidding me? So let's move to Washington. And you can comment on this, of course, 800-222-5222. But Corker, let's talk about a couple of things that are happening. The president is attacking Senator Bob Corker. Bob Corker doesn't care because he's not running again. He was actually considered to be the running mate to President Trump. He also was.
Yeah, look, the main problem is that Corker was involved in the Iran deal, and, you know, it's almost certain it's going to be decertified in the next few days. It doesn't mean we're going to pull out yet there, but to put negotiating pressure on Iran. And so there's no reason really to get involved in any sort of dispute with Corker now.
And Corker's pretty powerful at this point, and he doesn't care because he's leaving. And the president needs Corker on board to help vote for things he wants to move forward. Is this shooting himself in the foot in a big way, or is there something I'm not seeing?
You know, maybe there's something you're not seeing. It may be the same thing I'm not seeing, you know, but it's elusive, and I think it further distracts. I just think that when you have a margin in the Senate that's so close, you want to just sort of keep everybody as a happy camper within reason.
So what is the benefit?
I think it's just that kind of rebellious streak that is counterproductive and that distracts away from policy and distracts away from immediate policy objectives and priorities for the week or the day.
So it's okay, and now you're trying, but if you know that what you're trying to do is move tax reform down the road and you know you don't have a lot of room for
that. Right, you and I have gone back and forth in this difference there where you keep bringing up health care and I keep saying tax reform is more important from the standpoint of the economy because the economy is really a subset of what got this president elected as part of the alienation, people feeling they're kind of not part of the American dream and it's disappearing there. And here we are almost at the end of the year where we're soon going to have any tax legislation that would have to take effect next January 1. We're going to have economic activity delayed if they're going to see reduced taxes in January, and that should have been a no-brainer for Republicans. That should be an easy thing to get a coalition together. The health thing is more difficult. So yeah, I mean, he needs some policy victories to have the House and Senate pass them that he's going to sign.
And as this is happening, and the Corker noise is happening, and he's talked about health care yet again, that he's not going to drop that, and that he's reached out to Chuck Schumer for taxes also. What about what they're calling Rexit, which is Rex Tillerson potentially leaving? You were in Washington. On a scale of 1 to 10, how serious is that at this point?
It's a 10.
It's a 10?
It's a 10. I mean, I've spoken to people who work with both the Secretary of State and work with both the President, and you have a communication situation there. One person who is not from the area, you know, when he learned about this reacting to a situation that I was trying to be a good Samaritan, he said, you know, isn't this dangerous? And so, this has gone on for months simply because this is a CEO of a giant corporation who wanted to populate the State Department with people he would choose at an executive level, the Assistant Secretaries of State. And you had several people at the White House, any one of whom had veto power, so there was a paralysis there. So you've had a situation where if Tillerson advanced somebody for a key post, the White House would object. If the White House would advance somebody, Tillerson would object. So you just don't have it staffed at the high levels there. And then you have the Secretary of State going abroad there where people don't know whether or not he speaks for the United States because you have this internecine quarrel there. So it's a very difficult situation, and I think Tillerson is patriotic, but any Secretary of State would have problems inheriting some of the policies of the prior administration, and it's a very serious situation.
Arnold, let me ask you about this, too. Talking to Arnold Steinberg, his book is Whiplash, from JFK to Donald Trump, A Political Odyssey, on North Korea. So he undermined Tillerson and said, basically, we don't need diplomacy.
Well, I think, look, if it were a plan strategically, it would be different. If he were trying to scare Kim and others, simply said, talk is a waste of time, and that were a tactic, you might or might not agree with that. But in this case, it appears that it was intended or not undermining, even though he spoke highly of Tillerson when he said it.
But here's what my question is. Could it be, in standing back, Donald Trump, as the president, gets all the intel briefings that we don't get. He hears things we don't get to hear or see or know.
Right, but we don't know the degree to which he reads them and goes through them.
No, I got it. But could there potentially be a method to the president's madness with North Korea, in the sense that Beijing constantly does no more than wrist slaps, and we're much further along than anybody anticipated we'd be with North Korea ramping up and being close to being able to shoot a miniaturized nuclear warhead over here to the United States and hit Gladstones or whatever. So is there a possibility that this could actually provoke China, because their fear of having a reunited, more powerful Korea that's allied with the West, that this could get them off their butt to say, wow, this guy is making noise as if he's really going to do something? Or is there too much inconsistency with this?
Well, we've got to make China fear more a bunch of poor North Koreans going over the border to China to seek some economic relief than a united Korea, because the old alliances are gone. People are interested in economics now. Nobody's trying to overthrow the regime in China.
No, I know that, but I'm just trying to see if there is a strategy to the president, if he is talking this out with his military advisors.
I think he's confrontation-oriented, and confrontations throughout his business career have often worked out. So it may be that he feels that this is going to pay some dividends. But if that were the case, he would have done well to call the Secretary of State and said, here's what I think, and here's the statement I'm going to make.
Got it, rather than do it this way. And what about the optics of the vice president going to the football game, the 49ers game, where you know there's going to be protests, where you know it's a political kind of a grandstanding? It's a pre-planned walkout. I mean, he showed up, waited for the knee, and then left. And he's getting acclaim for that, and he's also getting pushback for that.
I think it's positive. I think from a political standpoint, and I also think from a moral standpoint, I think most Americans think there are other ways to protest than what's being done here. Now, the vice president is in California, in Orange County, for a fundraiser. Perhaps he'll be asked about all this.
And look, the boycotts of these teams, the 49ers gave the players license to do it, so he knew what he was walking into at that point.
Yeah, and evidently they wanted to take a public stand. On the one hand, I think it's politically desirable. And I said from a moral standpoint, I'm okay with it. The real question is, there are so many other things happening that maybe just not go to the game and deal with Iran and healthcare and the tax legislation and all kinds of things.
Arnold, before we go, on a fallout, and the president, by the way, is courting his base continuously, because he knows he could even possibly win re-election by just keeping
the
base satisfied.
What he's doing is he's increasing the voter propensity of his base slightly. Let's say it goes for you have a 94% voter probability and go up to 97 there, but he's not expanding the base. And you might say, well, that's okay. It might be a narrow election, and increasing the voter propensity even slightly if high propensity voters in his base is desirable. Except he's also increasing the voter propensity of those who are against him, the diehards there.
Well, but it is a calculated risk that he thinks is going to get him reelected again. But the one thing,
I'm not sure if it's calculated, then it's just the way he is from a behavioral standpoint.
But with a minute left, Arnold, the thing that I'm wondering about reelection is marijuana, which is a big issue in the party, which is a big issue in this country. And now all of a sudden, it looks like with Sessions there, this Warbacher bill may die, and That could be a big pushback.
Yeah, I predicted. Well, you know, Warbacher's a backer of Sessions. They're close friends. Warbacher has been solid on this issue of decriminalization of marijuana. He's known military veterans who've had to use medicinal marijuana to overcome their stress syndrome when opiates, frankly, wouldn't work. And I think one of the keys to this is the opiate crisis there. We have a crisis in this country now, not so much due to marijuana, but due to prescription drugs. So I think there's going to be a lot of leeway here. And there's very solid opposition against Jeff Sessions among key Republicans, because Sessions is very much standing aloof from criminal justice reform, one component of which is stopping these draconian penalties on drug possession.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to see what they do with marijuana, because it could cause a big fallout, big voting fallout. I mean, it's a very popular subject, popular bill, and it'd be interesting to see how fast and how far Sessions is going to push this with pushback from his own party. Arnold, I thank you for coming on. Boy, the time flies. Arnold, of course, wrote the book Whiplash, from JFK to Donald Trump, A Political Odyssey. Amazing book, 640 pages. I didn't know you knew that many words. It's stunning, and I thank you, of course, for taking the time to talk with us. Yeah, you too, Arnold. Coming up, I should also mention, the 11 o'clock hour, the Dodgers in the playoffs. Ned Colletti, a man very responsible for them getting to the playoffs, even though he's not the general manager anymore. He's a senior advisor to the president of the Dodgers. He'll be here in person. He's got a new book out that's highly acclaimed, got amazing reviews, called The Big Chair, The Smooth Hops and Bad Bounces from the Inside World of the Acclaimed Los Angeles Dodgers General Manager. So you won't want to miss that. And, of course, you can call, talk to Ned, ask him whatever questions you want. So we got a lot to get to. Coming back, I do want to talk a little bit more about Lisa Bloom and what she planned on doing for Harvey Weinstein before she decided, yeah, maybe I should step out of this thing. So 800-222-5222 is the phone number. Peter Tilden at 10 continues after this.
Pair of jeans. She looks great in cheap sunglasses. She looks great in anything. She's, I want a piece of chocolate. Take me to a movie. She's, I can't find a thing to wear.
Now, Mr. Brad Paisley, he usually plays in front of 30,000 people, 50,000 people, 70,000 people. He's going to be playing at the Saban Theater. It's an acoustic performance benefiting the Tom Sherrick MS Hope Foundation. And it's November 21st. You can win tickets to see Brad close up and personal on the 21st, when I tell you to call to play the news quiz. Also, the Zac Brown Band, if you want to go see him at the Hollywood Bowl, it's your choice. Coming up at 11 o'clock, Ned Colletti, the former general manager of the Dodgers, senior advisor. He's got an amazing book out that's getting huge acclaim. It's called The Big Chair. I'll let him talk to you about it, and also he'll take your calls, 800-222-5222. But coming back, I do want to talk about Sharon Waxman and what she said about 2004, working for the New York Times, she got the green light to look into the allegations of sexual misconduct by Harvey Weinstein. And what happened when she looked into those allegations? I'll let her tell you. Also, there's a rumor that the person who actually gave most of the information to the New York Times is Harvey Weinstein's brother, Bob. So I don't want to be at that Thanksgiving dinner or not sit between them, because I guess you get a steak knife in your head or turkey knife in your head. So we'll talk about, can you imagine? 800-222-5222 is the phone number. We'll address that and a lot of other stuff, too. And Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after the news.
KABC News is live and local at 10:30. I'm Jeff Whittle, and fire crews from Anaheim, the City of Orange, and the Orange County Fire Authority are now battling a 25-acre vegetation fire alongside the eastbound 91 freeway near the 241 toll road in Anaheim Hills. And we're hearing that all lanes of the eastbound 91 freeway have been closed because of this fire. Of course, we do have a red flag warning today because of the high fire danger from the low humidity, gusty winds. Now, in Northern California, the situation's even worse. Governor Jerry Brown has just declared a state of emergency in Sonoma, Napa, and Yuba counties, where several wildfires are now burning, several others raging in Lake and Mendocino counties. The Tubbs Fire, burning near Santa Rosa in Sonoma County, has now charred 35,000 acres. It forced the evacuation of the Kaiser Hospital there last night, but the evacuation has been lifted there. Some homes also said to be destroyed in and around Santa Rosa. In Napa County, the Atlas fires charred 12,000 acres. The Patrick fires blackened 2,000 acres. More than 50 buildings destroyed. And thousands of residents evacuated in Napa. All of those fires at zero containment. California Senator Dianne Feinstein, who's 84 years old, says she'll seek re-election next year when she's 85. That means she wouldn't be out of the Senate till she's 91 if she wins. Feinstein tweeted, there's much more for her to do, like ending gun violence, combating climate change, and giving people access to health care. And also, the big news is that movie mogul Harvey Weinstein's been fired from his own production company as more stories of his bad behavior towards women have surfaced.
Lauren Savant met Weinstein at a dinner party where, after a pleasant conversation, he invited her to see the kitchen. Once they were alone, he made his move.
He leaned in to kiss me, and I told him, you know, I'm sorry, I did not realize that's the impression you had. I'm not interested. I'm in a relationship. And that's when he told me to just stand there and be quiet. And he exposed himself.
Why did she keep silent for so long?
He could have easily made a phone call and I would have lost my job.
Lauren Savant was a guest on McIntyre in the Morning. I'm Leanne Tweeden, KABC News.
Talk Radio 790 KABC Sports. Seahawks beat the Rams 16-10, and the Chargers got by the Giants, so 27-22 for their first win of the season, while New York falls to 0-5. Bears host the Vikings on Monday Night Football. Lakers and Clippers both won last night in exhibition basketball. Dodgers will advance to the National League Championship Series with a win over the Diamondbacks tonight in Arizona. Yu Darvish pitches for the Blue in Game 3 of the NLDS. Boston hosting Houston this morning. Cubs host Washington, and the Yankees home against Cleveland later today. So all four series in action today. And that's sports on the home of the LA Kings, 790 KABC. Traffic, a market check, weather, and more. Tilden at 10 next. KABC News Time, 1033.
Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues a little more. Brad Paisley, hit after hit after hit. Big night at the Saban Theater to benefit the Tom Shark MS Hope Foundation. And you could be there when we do the news quiz. You give a call. And by the way, the KBC pre-sale starts tomorrow at 10 a.m., and the password's KBC. So if you want to get tickets, do that tomorrow. Get your tickets. Harvey Weinstein fired after what they called an explosive board meeting on Sunday. Apparently what happened, the company he co-founded, and when you leave, when you fire the guy, Harvey Weinstein, whose name is the company, Weinstein Company, what's left at the Weinstein Company? His brother Bob is who's left at the Weinstein Company. So apparently he rejected an offer to settle with the company and leave voluntarily. So he thought it was going to blow over. So the directors, including his brother, disagreed. And there was a couple of stories that his brother was the one who orchestrated this whole thing. So as I said, Thanksgiving's going to be tough at their house. The Wall Street Journal reports that Democrats who received a lot of donations from Weinstein, including Chuck Schumer and Elizabeth Warren, are trying to distance themselves and may give the money back. And a crisis expert, Richard Levick, says it was one of the worst delivered responses he'd ever seen, because he gave a narcissistic apology. And then remember, he said, and I'm going after the NRA. What? And that, how does that have to do with what you did? That's thanks for going after the NRA. But that has to do nothing with this. And then Lisa Bloom's comment about the 60s and 70s, that was more of the culture then. I think what it is, when you answer the door at your hotel room naked, it's because the little robes they give you just don't fit. And I got that. Harvey should have just said, the robes just don't fit. Not my fault. So in 2004, Sharon Waxman, who is now running The Wrap, said she was a new reporter at the New York Times when she got the green light to look into this deal and go after him. And here's what happened.
I also did an investigative story for the New York Times about 10 years ago when I covered Hollywood for them, and the story basically got killed. But it was many of the same kinds of things that I discovered in my reporting in Rome, in London, and it ended up being turning a different way, and a lot of pressure was applied to not let that story appear. And, you know, a lot of money had been paid over the years, and there are non-disclosure agreements with the women who were involved. So we don't really know a lot of the details.
So that's one of her comments, but it's amazing. It looks like because he was such a big advertiser and still powerful at that time that he managed to get the New York Times to shut down the story. She said this, too.
Hollywood has had a very permissive culture for a long time. Harvey Weinstein has been a very powerful figure for a long time, and I think a lot of money was paid to make it go away.
She said she traveled to Rome and talked to a guy who held the position of running Miramax in Italy, ran Miramax in Italy. But he had no film experience, and she's claiming his real job was to take care of his women needs, among other things. Why don't I get a job like that? I have no experience. Hand me $400,000 to run a film studio. He was in the payroll of Miramax, which means he was in the payroll of the Walt Disney Company, because they bought the studio in 1993. And Sharon said that people were telling her on the record that Lombardo knew nothing about film and that he organized get-togethers for Harvey with Russian escorts. So, and that there was also, she tracked down a woman in London who had been paid off after an unwanted sexual encounter with Weinstein. She was terrified to speak because of her non-disclosure agreement, but at least we had evidence of a payoff. So the story never ran. It was shut down at that time. And as I said, Harvey was still powerful at that time, so he had the money. He's throwing around. Think of all, you open the New York Times, think of all the movie ads that you're seeing there from Miramax at the time. He's a big revenue source. So they apparently decided not to run the story. It's going to be interesting to hear their take on it, if they're going to reply back to Sharon Waxman, because she just started making these comments today about them killing the story. And then Lorne Michaels, as I mentioned earlier, said that he ignored Harvey Weinstein because he's from New York, and it seemed to be just a New York kind of thing. Do you agree with that? 800-222-5222. And then Lisa Bloom, who is a fighter for women's rights, apparently had plans to discredit the women who accused Harvey, according to the New York Times. She suggested to the Weinstein Company board that the team could do more and different reporting in response to the newspaper's bombshell story, and that they would go after these women and try and discredit them, show pictures of the accusers in friendly poses with Harvey after his alleged misconduct. And I guess when all of this stuff came out now, Lisa Bloom said, yeah, maybe this doesn't look good for me since I had a deal with him to do a TV series. And since my mom, Gloria Allred, came out and said, yeah, I wouldn't have taken this case. This is not the type of thing I do, in direct opposition to her daughter handling the case, which is kind of odd. When I heard that Gloria came out and said there's no way, I thought, well, why didn't you advise your daughter beforehand? Or is it just you throw caution to the wind because, you know what, I have a TV show with this company, so I'm willing to flip sides for the money. 800-222-5222 is the phone number. Peter Tilden at 10 continues in just a moment. Don't forget Ned Colletti, who is the former general manager of the Dodgers and senior advisor to the president of the Los Angeles Dodgers, and also responsible for a lot of the players you're seeing on the field there in playoffs right now, is going to be joining us. I'm sure he'd be happy to take your calls. And I've got tickets for Brad Paisley and Zach Brown, too. So big hour coming up. 800-222-5222. We'll be back right after this. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Happy birthday to John Lennon. Wow, he's been gone a long time. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. Coming up, what's it look like to run a baseball team? Well, you can see it through the eyes of a general manager. Ned Colletti is going to be with us. And the phone number, 800-222-5222. He'll be happy to take calls. His new book is stunning. It's gotten rave reviews. It really gives you some insight in how a baseball operation works and the decisions that the team has to make and all of the different levels you're dealing with players and emotion and a culture that you probably don't think about when you're watching a baseball game. There's so much more going on. And I know knowing Ned and having to be one of my best friends really got me to a level of looking at baseball on a whole different way with different eyes. So I think you'd be blown away. Bob in Santa Monica, what do you want to talk about? Bob, good morning.
Well, Peter, this I'd like to unzip this a little bit, if I may. This thing with Gloria Allred's recent interview just recently this morning about her daughter, right, Bloom, having a book deal with Weinstein as of last week, and suddenly that's fallen apart. And she's asked about her daughter being involved with Weinstein and this whole deal with Weinstein's conduct. And she says, quote, my daughter has her own law practice. It's not with my practice. We're separate. And frankly, I know nothing about this. Suddenly, she turns into this paramour of women's rights, turns into Sergeant Schultz. I know nothing about this. Please leave me alone. I know nothing. I see nothing.
Hold on. You did the Schultz. We got the Schultz. You did the good Schultz. She said, had I been asked by Mr. Weinstein to represent him, I would have declined because I do not represent individuals accused of sex harassment. That was your statement. But the addition to that is, unless I have a four-picture deal, or unless I have a book, or. All right, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Coming up, OJ, he's out. Is he playing with fire here? Could he be doing something that could get him to be put back in prison because he does something that's not right for a paroled prison? I'll tell you what he's up to and see if you're buying into it. 800-222-5222 is the phone number. When Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after this.